Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Sydney, Australia. He's a partner at Floyd Consulting, a management consulting firm. He has dedicated his life to helping people and organizations become the best version of themselves and is the founder and CEO of The Dynamic Catholic. He's authored 18 books, and more than 4 million people in more than 50 countries have attended his seminars. His name? Matthew Kelly. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Matthew Kelly, the founder and CEO of The Dynamic Catholic. Welcome, Matthew. What an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Great to be with you.
Can we start by you leading us in opening prayer?
Absolutely. Loving Father, we thank you for this day, for all your incredible blessings. We ask you to continue to open our hearts, our minds, our spirits to all the incredible things you have planned for us and all the incredible things you want to use us to do in other people's lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Matthew, you grew up in Sydney, Australia. You were the fourth of eight sons. You're 41 years old. You're married with three children. You're speaking all around the world. How did it ever happen?
It happened step by step. You know, I get a lot of people, you know, calling me or emailing me and saying, you know, hey, I want to do what you do. How do I do that? You know, what was your plan? I didn't really have a plan. I sort of fell into my first talk while I was in business school. Some people invited me to speak at something, and some people at that invited me to speak at another thing, and the invitations to speak sort of came from speaking events, and that snowballed over, you know, the course of about 12 months or so, and then people would say, hey, you should write some of this stuff down, and the writing emerged out of that. You know, about 6 months after my first talk, I went to the dean of the business school and I said, listen, I'd like to take a 6 month leave of absence and, you know, go and do some speaking. I got a lot of invitations to speak. I'll go and do some speaking and then I'll come back to business school. And, I never went back to business school. But I really thought that it was something I would do for 6 months and then go back to business school.
What were the biggest things that your mom taught you, and what were the biggest things your dad taught you?
I'm not sure I can separate them out, but, you know, my parents taught me hard work leads to success. My parents taught me that, you know, our choices have consequences, and that our lives, you know, essentially become the sum of all the choices we've made. They taught me to value education, both formally and informally. They taught me that, you know, every day and every experience, there's lessons to learn. You know, they taught me to love God, go to church, you know, be a contributing member of any group you're involved in, whether that's a team or a nation or a community. They taught me to love excellence. You know, I often talk about in my talks, you know, my dad was a student of excellence. He just loved excellence, and he was always pointing excellence out. and they taught me to, you know, respect people who have achieved great things in their lives and try and learn from them.
We're talking to Matthew Kelly, who has spoken to 4 million people in more than 50 countries. Matthew, what's the basic message you try to get across in these seminars?
God has an incredible dream for you. He wants you to become the best version of yourself. You know, I think in traditional church language, we talk about, you know, the universal call to holiness, or how God calls everyone to live holy lives. You know, I think God wants us to become all he created us to be. He wants us to become the best version of ourselves. And in every moment of every day, we either choose the best version of ourselves or we choose the lesser version of ourselves. And in rejecting the best version of ourselves, we also reject God, you know. Or in rejecting God, we also reject the best version of ourselves.
In your seminars, you talk to us about four key questions. What are they?
Who am I? What am I here for? What matters most and what matters least? They're fascinating questions, and they're fascinating questions in and of themselves, but added to that is the fact that the answer to the questions is actually constantly changing, and we actually evolve into an answer to the question. So, you know, what matters most to you and what matters least to you as a single person could be very different to what matters most and what matters least as a married person, could be very different to what matters most and least as a married person with children. You know, what matters most and least to you when your kids have all left the home could change radically when you have grandchildren. So the questions are not static. They're not in one place in one time. Now, obviously, on some macro level, some things are just important than other things. You know, I talk a lot about needs and wants. You know, needs are good because God gave us needs. Wants are good because God gave us the ability to want. But needs are primary to wants. So needs are primary, wants are secondary. We're not saying needs are good and wants are bad. And so, you know, they're complex questions, and we're always answering them. And that's the journey. That's the spiritual journey, is to be always answering the questions. I think the important thing to recognize is that the more we spend time working on these questions, the more personal clarity we'll have, and that personal clarity is golden. It's a really valuable thing in the life of a person.
We're talking to Matthew Kelly. When we come back, we'll ask him about the Catholic story, which he believes is an incredible story. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Matthew Kelly, and I quote him now, "I think there is genius in Catholicism." A lot of people today are really against Catholicism, all of the bad issues with the sex, with the children, etc. Why do you think there's genius in Catholicism?
Yeah, I think there's 1,000 aspects of the genius of Catholicism. People sometimes, you know, they'll come up to me and say, "Hey, you're always talking about the genius of Catholicism. What is the genius of Catholicism?" Well, it's certainly not one thing. It's a combination of 1,000 things. But, you know, maybe to talk about one thing, to help us understand it, you know, if you put side by side the ability to be the best football player in the world side by side with the ability to make a difference in other people's lives, you know, we obsess about the football talent, but really the ability to make a difference in other people's lives is a much more, you know, incredible talent. And when you put side by side the ability to be the best football player in the world side by side with the ability to make a difference in other people's lives, the football thing becomes trivial in that sort of context, you know. And if you're the best football player in the world and your child gets cancer, how much does football mean to you then? And the answer is nothing. You know, you'd give up your whole football career if that would cure your child of cancer. And so, you know, what this is context. Our culture is allergic to context. Our culture doesn't like context because context shows the true value of things. And one thing the church is really good at is showing us context, is giving us context, is showing us the true value of things. Now, we might not always like what we discover. We might not always like the context that the church gives us, but that's irrelevant. the reality is the church is better than any other organization in the world at showing us context, at giving us context, at showing us the true value of things. What matters most, what matters least.
I quote Matthew again. He says, every single day the Catholic Church feeds more people, houses more people, clothes more people, cares for more sick people, visits more prisoners, and educates more students than any other institution on the planet. Michael, I met you on Saturday, August 23rd, 7 p.m., St. Hugo's in Bloomfield Hills. There were 1,300-plus people. It was standing room only. This was Saturday night, 7 p.m. It was like Christmas Eve midnight mass. Started at 7 p.m. At 5 after 11, you got a standing ovation, and no one had left. The title of this show is Anything is Possible, but Matthew Kelly, that is impossible. Possible. How does it happen?
Well, I think people are hungry. I think they're spiritually hungry. I think they're hungry to make sense of their lives. I think they're hungry to take their lives to the next level. They're hungry to take their marriages, their parenting, their career, their business, their school, their parish to the next level. And I think people need to be inspired. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of opposition, I think, to Catholicism at this moment in history. And those who are Catholic and believe deeply in it, they want to hear a message that can counter, you know, sort of the bombardment of the negative message that they're constantly receiving. But I believe, you know, fundamentally, at a really basic level, people are just, they need to be inspired. They're trying to make sense of their lives. And, you know, somehow this event is doing that for people.
I quote you again. Our culture is a giant teenager, a teen who takes what's really trivial and makes it really important and takes what's really important and makes it trivial. Explain, please.
Yeah, so I think when we're teenagers, we take stuff that's trivial and we make it really, 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 really important. We make it the most important thing in our lives. And at the same time, when we're teenagers, we do tend to take things that are really important and trivialize them. And that's because in adolescence, we're trying to work out who we are and what we're here for and what matters most and what matters least. And we have a lot of confusion about who we are and what we're here for and what matters most and what matters least. And so this confusion manifests us in us, you know, when we're teenagers, making trivial things really important. And, of course, the conflict between adults and teenagers is often because adults realize how trivial some of these things are. And they try to open the eyes of the teenager or expand the worldview of the teenager. And teenagers can be very resistant to that at times, you know. In the same way, our culture is constantly taking things that are ridiculously trivial and making them the most important thing on the planet for 2 hours, you know, and without any context, because context, you know, the shallow, superficial nature of our culture can't survive with any context. So, because context shows the true value of things. So the media is always taking things out of context, prefers to have things out of context, because they can blow them out of all proportion.
One thing that you said that Saturday night that really hit home to me is we always ask God for tweaking our family, our friends, our enemies, etc. Then you went on to say, God isn't in the business of tweaking. He is in the business of transforming. Please.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, God invites us to a radical transformation. If you think about when Jesus was alive, he really invited people. You know, his life and teachings were radical. You know, love your enemies rather than eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Pray for your enemies. You know, so he's, you know, if you've got two shirts, give one to somebody else. And it just goes on and on. There's 1,000 examples of the radical teachings of Jesus Christ. And he invited people to sort of a radical transformation. And we have, avoided that radical transformation. We pray for tweaking. Oh, dear God, yeah, please tweak my husband or tweak my wife or tweak my kids or tweak this soccer coach. But I think most of us have never really prayed a prayer of transformation where we come to God and say, all right, God, I'm 100% available. Whatever you want, I will do. Everything's on the table. Take what you want to take. Give what you want to give. Transform me. Transform my life. You know, and God always answers that prayer. Never once in the history of the world did God not answer that prayer.
Matthew, God is very busy. I know better than God what I need.
How's that working out for you?
Not so good. Not so good. During that talk, you threw out three challenges to all of us. The first was, read the Gospels 15 minutes a day for a year. Why?
You know, I think we've lost the real Jesus. I think we've created this plaster cast, candy-coated Jesus that we can be comfortable with and never really challenges us to change and grow and develop and evolve and transform. Whereas the real Jesus, I think when you really get into the Gospels, you realize he is a radical. He does want to turn our lives upside down, which, as it turns out, will be right side up. And so I think we've got to get back into the Scriptures. We've got to especially get back into the Gospels and really sort of absorb, you know, who was Jesus? What did he say? What did he do? And what does it mean to us here today in, you know, 2015?
The second challenge you made was to go to confession monthly. I don't have to go to another fellow human being and tell them what I'm sorry for, etc.
Yeah, I guess we don't see it that way. We see it as confessing to God through the priest. And the truth is that human beings, I mean, just from a natural level, human beings are deeply complex psychological beings. You know, and our ability to deceive ourselves is monumental. So, yeah, sure, you can just go to God directly and do your thing, but you're not likely to grow spiritually in the same way as if you have somebody, you know, holding you accountable, probing you a little bit and saying, hey, is that really the truth? Is that really why you did that? And what about this? And have you thought about that? You know, we need accountability. We need coaching. Nobody achieves excellence at anything without coaching and accountability. And confessions, you know, it's part of the genius of Catholicism. It's one of the ways Catholics grow.
The last challenge was to go to Mass. Please.
Yeah, not only to go to Mass, but to come to Mass on Sunday expecting to hear the voice of God in your life. To come to Mass on Sunday asking God, okay, what is the one thing, you know, that I can do this week that will help me become a better version of myself? Every relationship improves when we really start to listen. And the idea is that, okay, most people don't come to church on Sunday to hear the voice of God in their lives. And that's tragic because God's speaking to us every Sunday at church. The question is, are we listening?
We're talking to Matthew Kelly, the author of 18 books, which have sold over 5 million copies. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Matthew Kelly, an internationally acclaimed speaker and New York Times best-selling author. One of your more recent books, Matthew, is entitled The Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. First sign, daily routine of prayer. Please.
Well, I think, you know, maybe before we get into that, it's important to understand sort of the genesis of the four signs. You know, I think even the most casual observer comes to the conclusion that, you know, the Catholic Church in America needs game changers. Business as usual isn't going to get it done. The tide's going out, you know. And so what's going to stem the tide and what's going to reverse the tide and help the church build a vibrant future? we did the biggest research project ever in the Catholic Church in America to explore the difference between highly engaged Catholics and disengaged Catholics. And the four signs are essentially the difference. You know, the four signs are the difference between highly engaged Catholics and disengaged Catholics. And as you mentioned, the first sign is daily prayer. If you ask Catholics, do you pray? They say yes. If you say, do you pray every day? They say yes. The difference is that the most highly engaged Catholics tend to have a routine of prayer. They tend to pray at the same time in the same place every day. And they also have a routine within their routine, which means they tend to have a plan. Most people, when they sit down to pray, they sort of see what happens. And when you sit down to pray and you see what happens, usually nothing happens, and then people just stop praying. They get discouraged, and they stop praying. They give up. You know, the 7%, when they sit down to pray, they've got a plan. So, you know, I would ask them questions in the interviews. You know, where do you pray? Oh, I've got this big leather chair in my living room. When do you pray? Oh, I pray at 7 o'clock in the morning after my shower and after my breakfast. I just sit down. I do my morning prayer. And then I would say to them, okay, when you sit down in that chair, what happens? And they would say, well, I pray. I said, no, tell me exactly what happens. And then they would say things like, well, I take out my Bible and I read a chapter and I talk to God about what's in that chapter. Or I've got a devotional, a Fulton Sheen devotional, and I take that out and I read the meditation for the day, and then I talk to God about that. Or I take out my Magnificat and I do morning prayer or whatever. But what was clear was that they had a plan. You know, I think if anything's going to change in the church, we have to teach people to pray. If we don't get people praying, nothing's going to change in the church, and that's why it's the first sign.
And I quote him, 10 minutes of prayer a day will change your life. Second sign, study.
So, study, you know, continuous learning is linked with excellence in any field. If you want to achieve excellence in any field, you have to be committed to continuous learning. And the easiest way for us to be continuous learners in the area of our faith, really, is to read books. You know, I'm always saying to people, just read 5 pages of a great Catholic book every day for the rest of your life. And the amount of knowledge and wisdom that you'll develop over the course of a lifetime will be enormous. The number of answers you'll be able to, a number of questions you'll be able to answer will be enormous. And you'll have a huge impact on people's lives. But also that reading will feed your prayer. When we feed great spiritual thoughts into our minds, it feeds our prayer.
If you read 5 pages a day, that's 1,825 pages a year. That's 18,250 pages a decade. 45,612 pages over 25 years. That's 28 books with an average length of 200 pages. Point number three, generosity.
Yeah, this was a fascinating one for me. Highly engaged Catholics are, you know, significantly more generous in all aspects of life than their counterparts. When we talk about generosity at church, we tend to talk about stewardship. We tend to talk about the three pillars of stewardship: time, talents, and treasure. Now, the 7% are off the charts generous with their time, talent, their treasure, particularly generous with their money, regardless of their wealth status, regardless of how much they earn. And all of that is fabulous, but also their generosity, it's got these tentacles that reach far into every aspect of their life. They're generous in everyday ways. They're generous with their encouragement. They're generous with their coaching. They're generous with their praise. They're generous with their appreciation. They're generous with their virtue. They're generous with their patience, you know. And it's just some really inspiring stories that came out during the research. You know, I remember one story of a woman. She was a nurse. She'd just come back to work. She'd been battling cancer. She basically said, oh, you should talk to my friend. She's the one you want to talk to. And we said, well, tell us about her. And she said, well, I've just been struggling with cancer, and I've been off work, and I was allowed to have a month off with pay. And then after that, I could have leave without pay. But you know, my friend, she organized a roster with the other nurses so that someone would come to work in my place every day on their day off, you know. And so this woman had been organizing this roster to get someone else to come to work in this person's place so she could continue to get paid. I said, well, how long were you off work for? She said, 4.5 years, you know. And that's the sort of generosity. I mean, just off the charts, creative generosity that we saw time and time again in the research. Dynamic Catholics are generous. I think one of the easiest ways to astound our culture is with our generosity. I think one of the easiest ways to attract people to God is with our generosity. And so I think it's a fabulous area to focus on and think about as we grow spiritually.
We're talking to Matthew Kelly. If you want to learn more, www.dynamiccatholic.com. The fourth and final, evangelization.
You know, if you get a good thing, you share a good thing. As I say in the book, everyone's an evangelist. I think we've got this aversion to the word. I think we've got this aversion to the idea of evangelization. But everyone's an evangelist. I see people evangelizing about their new iPhone. You know, I see people evangelizing about their favorite vacation place. I see people evangelizing about their car. You know, we naturally... human beings are natural evangelists. It is not something that we have to be coaxed into or that kind of thing. We talk about what we love. We talk about the things that have changed our lives. We're constantly evangelizing about something. And the fact that many of us don't evangelize about God and His church is probably a fairly good indication that we don't really get it yet. Because when we get it, we'll evangelize.
Today is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. What advice do you give us for this Holy Week?
I guess I would say that, you know, do something different. You know, we at Dynamic Catholic this Lent, we did like the Best Lent Ever program. And I started off with a video at the beginning of Lent, actually before the beginning of Lent, telling people about the program. I start off the video, I said, don't give up chocolate this Lent. And, you know, the reason, I then went into it, I said, the reason I don't want you to give up chocolate this Lent is because I want you to have your best Lent ever. And in order for you to have your best Lent ever, you probably have to do something you haven't done before. And, you know, we had created this great email program where people would get a little video on their email every day or a little quote on their email every day. You know, with some action steps so that they could have their best Lent ever. And it was phenomenally successful. And I would say the same thing about Holy Week. You know, do something different. You know, if you're used to going to, you know, this thing and that thing on Holy Week, maybe go to something different this year. Or maybe just go and find a quiet place and read sort of the Holy Week scriptures from one of the Gospels. Do something different. Mix it up. You know, so that you can have the best Holy Week of your life.
We're talking to Matthew Kelly, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Matthew Kelly, the founder and CEO of the Dynamic Catholic Institute. If you want to learn more, www.dynamiccatholic.com. Matthew, when you talk to teenagers, what's your basic message to them?
Yeah, the message doesn't change that much. You know, I speak to CEOs. I do sort of off-site retreats for CEOs and C-level executives. I speak to the biggest corporations in the world. I speak in churches. You know, I speak in kindergartens. And, you know, my sense is that people are people are people, you know, and we're all grappling with the same things. I guess for teenagers, one of the things I would say is that, you know, not that many people end up living the life they imagined. And, you know, there's a reason for that, and we don't necessarily spend time reflecting on sort of the most important things of our lives. And we do, as young people, tend to say, oh, that's serious stuff. I'll wait for that later. And very often in the process, we make some of life's biggest decisions and make the wrong decisions and then are left to clean up the mess. And a lot of those messes are not that easy to clean up. So I do really encourage young people, hey, you're not too young to start asking the big questions. And a little bit of seriousness is deeply agreeable to the human soul.
You talk about, in the last segment, the crisis of Catholicism in America, and you say that 85% of the students who go through confirmation leave the church within 7 years. How do we win back these young people?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, obviously we're failing to connect with them. We're failing to show them that, you know, God and His church can add massive value to their lives. I think that we're in a situation where people don't understand, and especially young people don't understand sort of the value of truth and wisdom and great decision-making in their life. And I don't think they understand the value that the church can bring to those processes. We live in a culture that doesn't believe in truth. We live in a culture that says, do whatever you want to do. We live in a culture that's overrun with relativism. What's good for you is not necessarily good for me. What's true for you is not necessarily true for me. You do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do. Let's just leave each other alone. And I think we're edging towards disaster with that sort of approach, because there is such a thing as truth, and some things are true for people and everybody. And, you know, if there's no such thing as truth, there's no such thing as wisdom. If there's no such thing as wisdom, there's no such thing as a great decision. And our young people have been sort of, you know, engulfed in that sort of philosophy for a long, long time. And as a result, you know, I find that a lot of them are just lost. They're depressed. They're lost. They don't know what to do with their lives. They don't know what matters most or what matters least. They haven't answered those four questions. They haven't even gotten close to answering those four questions. In some cases, the four questions haven't even been put before them. And as a result, I think they really are just lost. And now we're seeing sort of this whole spat of like 35 to 45-year-olds, you know, trying to work out life because they missed it sort of in their teens and their 20s. Now they're married, they've got families, they've got a job they don't necessarily like, they feel trapped, they're trying to work it out, and, you know, and they are living that life of quiet desperation that Thoreau described.
We're talking to Matthew Kelly, who has a CD out, The Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality: Confession, Contemplation, Mass, Scriptures, Fasting, Spiritual Reading, and the Rosary. Let's touch a little bit on number five, fasting. Why fasting?
Because we're created for love, and you can only love to the extent that you possess yourself, because love is to give yourself to another person or to you know, a movement or whatever. That's love, a self-donation, the giving of self. You can't give yourself if you don't possess yourself. And a lot of us don't possess ourselves because we let our cravings and our, you know, whims and desires run wild. They actually have to be controlled. And fasting is it's genius spiritual practice. It's a way to create self-possession. It's a way to say no to the body. It's a way to say no to the cravings, not to punish the body, but to let the body know that, you know, there's a master, and the body is not the master. The body's like money, you know. It's a fabulous servant. It's a horrible master.
You mentioned being an addict to our whims. If there's a listener tonight that says, "I'm an addict to drugs, alcoholism, gambling, pornography, it controls me," Matthew, what can I do?
You got to get real help. You got to get professional help. You know, I mean, I think AA was one of the most successful spiritual movements of the 20th century. It just works, you know. And, you know, there's lots of treatment centers. There's lots of places that can help you. But, you know, addiction is real, and it's not to be toyed with. And we need to take a program seriously if we're going to overcome addiction.
When I meet somebody, Matthew, who's truly surrendered to God, there is a phenomenal peace about that person. That's not to say they don't get the short end of the stick, but a phenomenal peace. Why is that?
You know, I think that that's, Jesus says in the scriptures, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. You know, so I think the closer we get to him, the more that peace is going to fill our lives. And you're absolutely right. I think it's a mark of a man or a woman of God. They have peace and they give peace. You know, they have peace, they bring peace, they leave peace. It's a powerful thing.
If I'm controlled by pride, pride is the root of all evil, how do I get rid of pride?
Well, we're all controlled by pride. That's a constant battle. That's not, oh, let's get rid of it once and for all and be done with it. You know, I think there's some good exercises for pride, I think. I think silence is a good one for overcoming pride. I think, you know, only offering your opinion if you're asked is a great exercise to overcome our pride, because we're hyper-opinionated. We live in a culture where everyone's got an opinion about everything, just always sort of blurting out their opinions. You know, so to go for a week without offering your opinion unless it's asked for, that'll create a little bit of humility for us.
As our time winds down this evening, can you leave us in a closing prayer, please?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together to think on these thoughts so that we can grow closer to you and become more of the person God created, what you created us to be. We ask you to bless our families wherever they are tonight, spiritually, wherever they are physically, wherever they are in their journeys. We ask you to bless them and encourage them to take one step closer to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, we thank you, and we ask that you bless Matthew Kelly and his family and his organization. Keep up the great work. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.